Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give, and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey everybody, welcome to the Bowlology Report. Today, Bradley Hodge, we're brought to you by SunSmart, 1995 Bushrangers. I like your sort of picture compared to mine at the moment, if they could all see that. Hey, Hodgie, so I've been saying, we've been punching out these podcasts like a Chris Tavare slog sweep in the last few weeks, so that means minimal. What have you been doing the last couple of weeks?
Well, I've been available. You haven't. I came round to your house twice and you weren't home. I didn't even know that you're in Dubai. Working hard on the PSL, which I think is a very cool tournament.
Which we'll be talking about a bit later on.
Yeah. What have I been doing? Been busy sort of organising
IPL
stuff, training venues, programs, blah, blah, blah. Getting relationships going with the coaching staff. Taking the kids to school, taking them to tennis, footy.
You took cricket. Them to Bali. You were looking to get a coaching gig over there. What's the response?
There was not a lot of cricket in Bali. Unfortunately, it's not their chosen sport. The Bintan was more of an option than the cricket bat and ball. Yep, so that was good.
Potential sponsor, Bowlology Report, I believe.
We will put that out there.
Sorry, mate. My landscape gardener's here.
No, come in to cut your grass.
Mate.
Do you want to cut your grass?
Good to see you, big man. You know Bradley, don't you?
G'day, mate.
You know Bobby.
Good.
Bobby, what about this?
What's going on?
So you retired from cricket and you're straight into a bit of landscape gardening. You brought your dog.
I remember you used to watch Alvin Mangle as a kid and he always ran around with his dog. So I thought I'd do the same thing. I was waiting for that bikini model to be handed out with me as well.
Okay, we could potentially work on that down the track.
Yeah.
Hey, Bobby, I think on behalf of me and Hodgie and everybody, well done on your career.
Thanks.
Mate, it must have been, obviously state cricket was over last year, but from the Melbourne Stars, have you been overcome by the response with your retirement, with people saying how much they love playing with you and against you?
Yeah, it's been fantastic. A little bit overawed about how, the support's been fantastic. I guess it happens so quickly after a couple of days of text messages, they move on and I've got to move on, so it's all good. Just time to sit down and have a couple of frothies and watch other people play cricket.
Absolutely. What about the most important thing, Bob, is end of season. How was your form on Mad Monday? That's pretty important.
Well, it was a weird one because we haven't got a scheduled Mad Monday yet for St Kilda.
Saints. You'd be finishing yet.
Correct. But also our seconds and fours are still in. So it was actually quite funny, though, because we technically did have a Mad Monday because we went back to the club on the Sunday night, just had a couple of quiet ones. My wife was ringing me at 2:30 in the morning. where am I? And I said, I'm still at the club. So I got home at about 4. Obviously had to do some responsibilities the next day, as you know.
Practice Mad Monday.
It was a bit of a practice Mad Monday, but the year before with the Bushrangers was probably my personal best, really.
I was going to ask you a bit later, but what is your guide to a Mad Monday? Because a lot of local teams are finishing up soon.
Yeah.
So what did the Bushies do last year?
There's a few things you can do, Flem. The last few years we've been dressing up quite a bit. So making sure that whatever you wear doesn't inhibit your drinking or ability to drink. Mm. Hence that you are drinking, that you need to release something if you drink that much.
Yes.
You need to go to the bathroom. And that uniform needs to be appropriate for that as well.
So you talk about appropriate uniforms, and I've seen the AFL clubs been doing it, the state teams, and now obviously club cricketers as well. What did you go with?
I wish I remember. My last one went as Peter Moody. Because it had to be something that was in the news, and he'd recently done for. So I went to Kmart and got some cords, a black jacket, got some white out, put Peter Muta Racing on it. We run with a similar hairstyle.
Yeah, rocking it.
Yeah, and I think I brought in a little horse, like a horse head. So that was it. But look, it's been, as I said, it was my personal best, but it had taken me 11 years to get there. So,
to attain that.
Yeah, to get that. And it's a shame it took that long, but I'm glad I finally got there.
So you went Moody. Who else? What were some standouts over the last few years?
Mario and Luigi were quite good.
Oh, yeah.
I just saw recently Christo and Whitey went as Jenny and Forrest Gump, which is quite
okay,
good.
Saw that. Yeah.
Which I haven't spoken to Christo because the beard that he sent me a photo of would have been horrible to drink with. So there's been plenty. I think the
boys, it's not supposed to be easy. It's not supposed to be easy. Be creative.
It's a war of attrition, really.
It actually looked like your beard during the Big Bash, Bobby.
it did a little bit, didn't it? It's got a little bit out of control.
Yeah, definitely.
Hey, Bobby, now what about just a quick one about your career? We'll get your thoughts on all the current stuff, cricket here. You know, when you're down at Washington Park, your dad played there. You know, when you first got that chance to go down to St Kilda, yeah, what do you reckon your goals were?
Well, my goal was to lose weight straight away because the year before I'd done work experience at Puma, and the current or the president of the time, Nigel Murch.
Oh, Murchie was there.
And so the bloke I was working for saw Nigel pass in the corridor. Said, Nige, I just want you to meet someone. This bloke's name is Rob, and he wants to go play St Kilda next year. And the problem was the timing of it was horrendous. I was halfway into my third potato cake, and he goes, "Oh, does he?" He goes, "We'd want to lose some bloody weight before he gets down there." And I went, "Well, all right, no worries. Well, I'm welcome to St Kilda. I'm not even there yet."
So how big were you, like kilos wise?
I was probably, I'm 6'3 now. I was probably about 5'8 then, and probably punching sort of 90 to 95.
So it did show. You weren't a skinny fat bastard like Craig Howard.
I was. I'd swallowed a shirt and a soccer ball.
Right.
And then played two seasons. The ones were in one of their grand finals. I think they were playing Frankston or Essendon at the time.
Because Timmy O'Sullivan, is he the pres now, Timmy?
No,
but he just said you were bowl of leggies as well.
Yeah, well, that's what fat people did. You know, we idolised Warnie.
Some famous people.
Very famous.
Similar diets and you know, it's a lot easier than running in like you did and you finally clicked on towards the end. Half your runner. But it probably wasn't until just before I went to England the first time as about 18-year-old, 12th man for the ones, and I said, I'm going to England. And that's great, you know, you can get a couple of firsts if you're over there. But just be careful for the Heathrow injection. And so I've had my injection. So I'm going to Bali first.
Yeah, what do you mean?
I had that shot, yeah. And I laughed and Standard just, you know, taking the piss a little bit. And I went there 100 kilos. So I was 6 foot and went there 100 kilos. And as you know, dodgeball, but you can have a steak and veg and the veg comes out fried.
and the chips, there's always
there's chips.
Chips
there.
Pints instead of pots.
And the pints of Tetley's.
Yeah, pots. Yep. And like you play your game on the Saturday and then someone get you and play a friendly game on the Sunday and the Wednesday and they go, come on Oz, we'll go for a feed first. I said, you beauty, get to the pub. And he goes, what do you want to drink? And I said, I'll just have a Coke. And he goes, no. Comes back, 2 pints. So you're having 4 pints before the game, let alone the 6 after the game. And then they also had Sky Sports TV or Sky TV, which is the equivalent of Foxtel. And back then, I think Optus Vision only just started. So Optus Vision had, I think, 4 channels in total. They had one movie, one sport, and 2 random ones. And I'm thinking, I'm like a pig in sty. I'm just thinking, how good's this? You know, all these channels, pay TV.
Yeah.
And then at, you know, 5:30, 5:45, the Domino's ad came on, and I'm not going anywhere, and away you go. So I went over there 100 kilos and came home 115 kilos. So.
Yes. So the Saints would have been pretty happy with that.
Yeah, they were wrapped.
When did you lose weight? Was it just because you're making
It was from then because I had to put my finger out and go, well, you know, I'd take a look at myself. And I actually did really well with the bat when I got back from England. So it was a bit of like a double-edged sword. And to play higher, that's when you have to lose a bit of weight and be a better fielder and that's what I tried to do, really.
What about on the reflection of your career? So 5 Sheffield Shields,
yep,
for the Vics,
yep,
a couple of test matches.
Yep.
So, yeah, what do you reckon is your fondest moment of cricket with all that? Is it getting your bag of green? About that last Sheffield Shield?
There's no one moment. I think, I even go back to a time just thinking out loud. Like, I think me, Hodge, and Ronnie, and we went down to Story Bridge one night. There was someone else with us, and it was just one of those nights where we used to go there a couple of nights before a Shield game. And especially in Perth, you need to acclimatise, so you have a couple of chances.
Hang on, isn't the Story Bridge in Brisbane?
Yeah, that's what I said, but in Perth, you have to acclimatise. Brisbane's an hour as well, so you need to get over that jet lag as well.
True.
And it's nights like that, and change room banter, that's probably the main thing for me. It's not just one moment. Like, it's all good to say whatever individual and team success I had, but it's all the BS that goes in the change rooms for me that I'm going to miss it.
That's the great thing, isn't it? When you look back and you look across the range of players that you play with and the different personalities and those different moments in the dressing room, and everyone's got their own story. You know,
you take it for granted sometimes.
Yeah, you do.
Well, you've had East Sandy for a couple of years. The same sort of conversations can happen in the dressing rooms too, don't you? You had the same different characters, and
it's the same. One difference is we don't have a cellar dweller like Mick Lewis. Most of the guys do come out and support their teammates, whereas Mick, I don't think, watched any of us bat once. So they're probably the little subtle differences. But look, I imagine Bob, similar to us, representing your country, given a chance, will never be taken away from you. It's a pretty cool experience. But the Sheffield Shield wins for Victoria under a number of different coaches as well, I reckon, is pretty cool.
Yeah, it's real random. Having two under Sheppy, and then, we're coming into a season where it doesn't look like we're going to make it. Unfortunately, Sheppy gets the tap on the shoulder with three games out. Like it always seems to happen, we win the next three games. We win. So, to him, I guess it was bittersweet, but... the torch come on board, Ronnie McDonald, and Sakes come on first, the Walrus, and then he come on and he said,
was he one from one, Sakes?
One from one. Said he goes, yeah, look, I'm with Victoria, all the way. I'm not going to go up to Cricket Australia, or I'm not going to do that. And sure enough, he got the tap on the shoulder, but to go the other way, and then torch Ronnie McDonald slid in and. I think there are a few people who were very close to him that were very, very happy that he could get to come home instead of living in England. So,
hey, Bob, do you ever think, with your test career, up at the Gabba, so you go the hook shot, and who caught on the boundary?
Dale Steyn.
Do you ever just think, if it had just gone another metre for six?
I try not to.
80 test matches later, imagine if Steyn had caught that one.
Yeah, correct. You could think about that every day, really, if you wanted to do your head in. But,
that shit haunts you every day.
Every day. I haven't watched any footage of my test career since. And the problem is, I could watch it in an ad break. That's the scary thing. But you do. You think about it. It's always people bring it up.
Yeah.
They say, what do you reckon? But as I said, it was one thing Punter said to me after that innings. He goes, if that's one of your go-to shots, he goes, don't just put it away just for one. But unfortunately... my other go-to shot is the call on the crease, Nick, and I went to that too often.
I saw the second one. I mean, he might not play, but Mornay Morkel to left-handers. I know he only faced a few balls. Mm. I mean,
you're happy to get out.
There's no bigger test.
He is a batsman's nightmare, Mornay Morkel.
But imagine for lefties, though, because he's natural seams away from him. And was it around the wicket, the second one?
Yeah.
So, Commissioner...
I had some siders of him. I was in the IPL the year or two before that. And more numbers on my side. So, albeit, yes, it's a white ball and it's a lot flatter, but I had some siders of him and thought, I think that's going to hold me in good stead.
No, I think you're happy to get out today. The one thing which killed me when I was watching Bob was flat wicket in Adelaide and Rory Kleinfeld. That's a bit of a killer for you.
I just got out there. The wicket was flat and I can't remember who got out before me in that innings, but... the ball had just started to reverse.
Yes.
And I thought, I'm just going to go out here and have some fun, no worries. And sure enough, the round the wicket, it looked like it was starting to sort of come in, angle into off stump. And Bobby thought he might just have a bit of a feel and see how it go, and yeah, it just swung away a little bit and fed the keeper.
Tell you what I like is you just sneaked in a little third person there too.
Yeah,
Bobby, did you know that little Bobby? Quickly, what about the best Victorian batsman?
I'm not just because he's here. I've done a few supporties in the last couple of years, and without doubt.
And what'd you like about Hodge?
Just how simple his game was. Even when there was times that there was times where he knew he was too good to. I'm not trying to detrimental to him.
No, go
he's,
for
he's
it.
He still got the job done. You know, like there was, I remember a time playing against South Australia. The stand was getting built, and it was almost like you looked at the bowling lineup and you go, Are they serious? And he just pumped out at 100 in just over a session, and then made his 100, walked off. You know, job done. But
what I think about the great players just getting in there too, and certainly Hodgie for the second half of his career. You know, Dino was like that for Victoria, Ponting for Australia. They just look in control.
The whole time.
They look in control of the situation. And even seeing Hodgie, even last year as well, you seem to know your game so well, know what I need to do in that situation because you've had success in the past. But as a bowler, that's totally deflating.
That's hard. There was only one time I saw him flustered, and it was when you were trying to go, and there was only one spot in the Aussie spot.
I know this
one
spot.
One game against WA.
Yeah. And Matty Innes killed me.
Yeah, Matty Innes had his second win.
He was too good.
Just swinging them both ways.
It was one of their moments as well you talk about, and you look back where everything goes wrong. I opened the batting, walked out, and it was a patchy MCG wicket. I was hoping for a flat thing. It just suited Matty Innes beautifully. Went in, nicked a couple, walked off and said, that's not for me. That's not for me. But the Victorians, I mean, over the course of a decade, some wonderful, wonderful cricketers. You just even think about David Hussey, Cameron White, Andrew McDonald, Armburger Elliott, yourself.
Rogers.
There's just a number of great players that you look at and go, as a bowling unit coming in against those guys, going, wow, if we don't get... I remember always... Everyone was always saying, if we don't get Bobby in that out early, how are we going to get Huss and Macca and those guys out down the order? No chance.
What about with the ball? Who was the bowler for Victoria, you reckon, that you, over their career?
There was three. I probably didn't play with Mick enough. I got Mick at the back end.
Yeah.
And he was bloody grumpy too.
We all are.
But Harwood and Denton for me were two. I was lucky enough to play with Dents, and when Dents was on,
outswings too.
But the ball reversed for a couple of seasons at the gym, and we knew we had a bowl. And
Harwood and Denton very good at that.
Yeah, very good. And then you throw Nanez in with a new rock when the real Dirk Nanez rocked up.
Was he significantly quicker than those two?
It's hard to
because they were all fast.
They're all different, but Harwood is really hit the wicket, he's on to you. When Nanez is slides on to you and he hits you before you know it. And Dents is similar to that slidey bowler, but he shuffles in.
We bowled like Alan Donald, didn't he?
And just when you think the ball's not going to swing, it just goes and swings. And he was good, except his feet were. He had no feet, really.
I'll tell you what's good when you bat down the order is it letting you guys at the top face those guys in the nets with the new balls. And you're just hopefully Shippy pulls them out before you're done and we'll face the spinners.
Yeah, come on. I remember Bucky or Julie and myself would go in and nip around and then you'd see these boys like Whitey and Huss would sit there and go, Ship, probably old balls, mate. The new balls are probably doing too much. All right, no worries. Yeah,
let's work on reverse swing.
And Whitey. Yeah.
So good thing with reverse swing.
The MCG doesn't do this. The bowl's going to learn to bowl something flatter. No worries.
Okay, tough one for you. When did Bobby Quiney peak? What was the innings you reckon that you couldn't have played any better?
It was the second. I played a season where I batted at five, and then I think Julie must have something happened. And I opened the next year, and all that season
clicked.
I felt so in control. It clicked
with Bucky Rogers.
I can't remember. I think it was, it might have been with Bucky. I started with Julie and then it was with Bucky. So it was probably around that time. And then a lot of times playing at the Gabba, for me, I'd either get a good score or Hodge, I used to go to Hodge. You know, you'd always listen to what Hodge's got to say when I go to the Gabba because, his experience and stuff like that. And I'm sitting there going, how do you play the Gabba?
The Gabba Trois.
The Gabba Trois. And there'd be one time they'd be like, oh, you know, you just got to like get stuck in. And then the other time, like, no, we just got to slog, you know.
I got a lot better at the Gabba when Peter Porky Parker retired. My average went from about 20 to 35, I reckon, once he retired.
I do remember when you were really young, though. I remember you took down Mocker, Carl Rackerman.
I remember that.
You decided
that.
To play the hook shot, which if you're going to score off Mock, you're going to have to pull and hook, aren't you?
He came around the wicket. It was the first time it sort of happened. And I thought, well, I'm going to be in trouble here or tested. He was ugly to face anyway.
Awesome bowler.
And anyway, I thought, not ugly to face. Oh, no. He has got a bit of an ugly face anyway.
But he was, I don't know if you saw him, he bowled that hip to horrible. Shoulder. Yeah.
He was a real stippler.
And it wasn't that short, and he hit the seam, didn't he?
Yeah, he was hard to face. He was, Dino and those guys always said that he was the hardest. I always found Joe Angel at the whacker the hardest. But Mock had come around the wicket, and I thought, he's going to kill me, so I'll have to take it on. So I hooked him for, I think it was 3 sixes, I reckon. And I think I took it for 22 off the over. And Mox just tapped his head. Gone for 22 and haven't even bowled a bad ball.
Yeah, that's right. But the way he taught, he'd consider it, wouldn't he?
Yeah.
Haven't bowled a bad ball.
Yeah.
Bobby, well done your career. And we know that you've got to work. You've got to get my lawns right and all that sort of stuff. What about overnight, though? Rabada will play the third test match. So the ruling was that it got taken down from 3 demerit points to 1 demerit point. So I think he's on 7 or 8.
Off, like, parking fines and stuff like that.
Mm. Well, you can maybe get this guy, the New Zealand judge, to get that done. So what are your thoughts on that? My problem is he's had incidences all the way through. It got deemed that it wasn't intentional. Was it inappropriate or intentional? He said that it wasn't intentional, but it was still inappropriate. So sort of in my head, I'm going, there's been enough. At what stage does Rabada actually have to pay a penalty?
Yeah.
And possibly, I don't know how, maybe an extra demerit point would have got him out of this test. So he's taken a hit, but he's not out of the series.
Yeah, no, I agree. Well, where do you draw the line? I think as a spectator and how little that they brushed each other, for me it's like play on.
Yeah.
But there's also for me is that they can probably do it well, they can do it subtly because they have to. All for me is that if that sends a message down to junior cricketers who then, or even local, I'm sure if Hodge got out, you know, that's their best bet.
Yeah.
And some bloke from Washington Park comes by and just wants to scrape him, but he can't.
They have their dogs from Washington Park.
Don't know about that. And just, instead of just clipping the shirt, actually, like, proper, you know, shirt fronts, Rabada sort of did something similar, but, and they talk about having a precedent case. And I just, as long as, you know, there's common sense involved. A lot of people have come out and said that the right decision's made. But is it the right decision because they want him playing the game? Or is it the right decision because...
I think most of it's that. I think most of it just want to see him play. Yeah. And we want to play against the best. Because he's the number one in the world, Hodgie. Mm. What are your thoughts on the decision and also just him as a bowler?
I think it's the rise
of Rabada,
Look, he's a gun. There's no doubt about it. We're excited because he's actually playing the game. But... I'm pretty confident or sure the rules state that you can't brush an opposition batsman when you get him out. That's pretty clear, and I think that they may have gone against that trend. It's not something... I like the celebration of bowl. I don't think you should be penalised for sending a person off or running past in celebration. I think it adds to the colour and the flavour of the game because it's a tough game.
Yeah. And you guys probably don't know it as much, but I tell you what, the euphoria that gets released when you get a wicket, particularly if it's a big one, you know, or it's been a big part as you break through.
Virat Kohli does it all the time, and my initial
thought like
when he when he was doing it was this goof like carrying on, but to me it was like
for Rabada, all these 5 instances have always all been when he's taken a wicket.
Yep.
So whether it's verbal, like a Warner one, or a slight physical one with Smith, I think there was a Sri Lankan batsman there. So really, he just needs to clean up when he gets the wicket. Just go to your teammates. Just go to your teammates. Don't actually worry
about
the
opposition.
Yeah, there
needs to be a different kind of release, that's for sure. But like, you can't... I remember when they, like a few years ago, when I think you were still playing with the Vicks, that they're talking about you can't swear anymore, you need a new release, and they're talking about whether they should try it. They said, because Stump Mike can pick it up, so yell at your sponsor. And so like, what, we're going to sit there and go, Puman! It's like, no one's going to do that. So if a lot of this stuff is just reactional, it's not
emotional.
That thought, yeah, it's all emotional and adrenaline. So I'm not sure what, you either let it play or you don't. And I think it's as black and white as that.
Well, so, I reckon bottom line, he's lucky.
Yeah,
and if he doesn't learn a lesson from there, then he's in real trouble.
He's very lucky. Look, we've seen a couple of batsmen running past, you know, going for two and brush the fast bowler as well, or a spin bowler. It's something which just needs to be looked at and cleaned up, I think. And I think by not penalising him, may just let it go. Yeah.
I'll tell you what, the odds have improved overnight.
Has it?
Australia were out and out favourites, but with Rabada playing.
Well,
the next one
would have been good, though. Sorry to cut you off there. It would have been good if Rabada actually got rubbed out and the great Dale Steyn came in, and
that would have been awesome.
Yeah, that might, you know, if Dane's he was fit,
fit
then that would have been pretty good.
What's going to happen now is that I'm not sure the actual consensus of it, but if he only needs another week to get up, Steyn, which I'm sure he needs more, but it'd be nice if Rabada just goes through, takes five, just bump someone else again. You're out. Steyn comes back in, and away you go. But
well, what about your mate Mornay Morkel? He was about 3 wickets off 300.
Yeah.
He had the chance to get back in and finish a legend.
The one thing was is that he wasn't necessarily the next one in it. They weren't talking about
a
straight swap. So that's where I'm pretty concerned about him. He might have played his last test, unfortunately.
Yeah.
I'll tell you who hasn't played their last test. I don't know if you've heard of this guy, AB de Villiers. How do we get him out?
Good question. I wouldn't have a clue. Unless you'd be fast track. Unless whatever runs he gets in a partnership, right? So go, here's 50 now. Take 50, all right? And then he gets to 100, 120, you're out. You might be like 30 or 40 better off by doing that than whoever he bats with as a partnership. But it's amazing whether he's mentally refreshed from being out of the game for a long time. But and had that time to just hone in.
See, I sort of thought that might be a negative, but it hasn't been.
No.
Has it?
No, not at all.
Hodge
not
is
all.
An absolute gun, isn't he?
Because
we've been watching him in white ball cricket.
Yeah.
You haven't seen him in red ball cricket for a while.
Nah, he's top three, top four for sure. Steve Smith, Virat Kohli and AB de Villiers. AB, is that Bobby out there doing the law?
It's Bobby, my apprentice.
Is that your job? Might just close that door, actually.
But AB de Villiers... probably the only person that has actually dominated all three forms. David Warner's probably the closest again. That, you know, can adapt his game to Test match cricket, One Day cricket, and T20, and not just be good, be dominant.
Yeah.
But he plays similar waves from one extreme format to the other. From Test to T20, he does play some similar shots. Like the last Test,
he's
ramping him down there, and with third man there, and still just getting it fine enough to. His placement and execution is phenomenal.
And to be fair, on the converse side of that, or the opposite side, I don't reckon our quicks or our bowling have been at their best. You know, Stark's reverse swing in the first test, well, it just showed what an X factor he is with that. But Hazelwood, even Stark in the second test, Hazelwood and Cummins, they've been good, they've been competitive, but they just haven't had... I reckon they're sort of 6 out of 10s, and to win this series, they need to be 8s.
Yeah, but these last two games, they could become 8s, and that's...
Yeah.
I think the bowling's the real go-to at the moment for the Aussies, and the batting's just sort of there and thereabouts when, you know, we've been so reliant on Smith and Warner, and they really haven't hit their straps yet, and we're sort of just... The good thing is we're scrapping by, aren't we? Like, we're getting in there, and we've got the job done
Mitchell Marsh was fantastic, wasn't
he? Yeah.
You know, that's his bigger test. If his technique holds up against that attack... You hope that this is started.
But it just looks like that's the mental freedom that that someone like a Maxwell could be given as well. Like, say, hey, mate, you know, we know that you come hard. We know that you like to play your shots. Go out there, just be smart, but just we're going to back you, all right?
Yeah.
If you go for a big shot and it's the right shot and it doesn't come off, don't worry, we'll support you. So I reckon, you know, Maxi could probably fall in his category as well.
What about Bancroft's head starts? You know, do you think he's the type of batsman that can go on and get bigger ones, or is his technique going to hold up? And then Usman, who probably if he didn't get runs in the fourth innings of the series, might have been trouble. And he batted beautifully, Usman.
Yeah.
He batted beautifully in that fourth innings. But we probably need that 3 out of 4 innings.
Yeah, and well, on Bancroft, my personal opinion is I'm not sure why he's there. He'll probably prove me wrong in this game, but most good players over a long period of time generally get a score, but I think he was lucky to be there. I think there was an opportunity to maybe bring someone in who was in better form, or you know, a Burns or a Renshaw who'd done the right thing, got the flick, gone back, scored heavily in Sheffield Shield cricket. But there's reasons why they're not there or there. But for me, Bancroft just doesn't look like he's got the big score in him at the moment, or he's wrestling with his technique. Usman again. What is he, Usman? We don't know. We talked about him probably 6 months ago. He's a tremendous player. He's a gifted player and an amazing player. But, yeah, just that enigma of, you know, consistency. What is he? He's a flashy thing when he's great and he looks gorgeous. Well, and then sometimes you just go, where's Usman today? Yeah. What's he doing? You know, that's Test cricket. You can't be at the top of your game all the time, and we've seen.
Well, I hope that innings gets him going and just dominate the last two Tests, because I mean it's quite a big knock against that attack, and I reckon he's got the game. Like besides Maharaj, you know, it's a pace attack, and he plays the short ball really well.
I think they talk about his statistics in foreign conditions. This is close to home in foreign conditions for him as possible. So I think that's why that expectation is there for him. To come out and average, you know, 58 or whatever he does on home tests, or even higher, instead of 30 in foreign tests. So I think the one thing I reckon is interesting is that, you know, how people always compare that it's that hard to get a spin ever since Warnie? You know, there's always a comparison to Warnie. Whatever spinner comes in,
it's a comparison
to Warnie.
Yeah.
Do you think there's any relation to that with like Hayden and Langer? So they had that partnership, they had such a really good time of it at the top that, you know, I think Watto won Career of the Year when he was opening 1 year
with
as well.
With Caddich, I reckon,
you know, that no one sort of... Even, like, Caddo went through times where he couldn't get some runs, but it wasn't the mountain of runs that Hayden and Langer got. So are we comparing him to... We want openers to get 100 every second game, or like we were talking about before, you know, Warner can just do that, but is the other opener's job to make it easier for number 3, 4 and 5?
Well, quite possibly. But we get trained to want openers. What you say, we're playing on Hayden. Well, they average close to 50, record 100-run partnerships. So that's sort of the standard. Whereas before that, you're right, an opener that averaged 35. Opener that averaged 35 but faced a lot of balls, they would say that, well done.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Because you're coming in number 3 and 4 against an old ball.
Someone in the second spell.
Yeah. If you're top 3 averaging 50, you're home in any forms of the game. But Chris Rogers came in for that instance, basically to try and make it easier in tough conditions in England stuff. But I mean, he was a superstar.
But he averaged 50 in first class cricket, so you go, well, if he drops to 45, you could understand that. And, but you know, Bucky did. Bucky got hundreds.
Yep. Well, there's no surprise.
He cashed in when he got. Start.
Initially, just before he went to England, they were talking about how he wasn't getting hundreds, and like the blessing was that anyone that bats with Warner at the moment, it's like, yin and yang, you got someone who scores quickly and someone who doesn't, and they said that about Bucky as well. But then he got to England, and got his 100, and then opened the floodgates a little bit, and there was 3 opportunities as well. So you're spot on, Hodgie. Like your openers in 3 average 50, then you're away. But
some good news too overnight. It looks like Mitchell Starc and Mitchell Marsh will be fit.
Yep.
So how do you reckon the third test is going to play out? Cape Town.
Whoever bats first, I'm going to say whoever bats first will win. Is that if it's going to be a green top, all out, with an hour to go, opposition be 3 down and then by the time the team batting first, bat second, they'll pile them on.
Hey, Hodgie, if it is a green slammer, is it one of those ones where it's not a bad toss to lose?
I've no idea, because as an opening batter, I'm not really wanting to face Vernon Philander on a grand slammer, nor am I wanting to face Josh Hazlewood. They're the two guys for me which sort of scream, I don't want to face these guys. you sort of know Starkey's going to bowl some good, some great deliveries, which is going to be too
Might
good.
Get some four balls.
Same with Cummo, but those guys where on green seamers where you can't actually make shots.
And they make you look silly.
Yeah, you're like, oh my God. So they'll be praying that it's not green, the opening batters, only because those guys on green conditions are dynamite, I reckon. They're dynamite.
Like, and also, just for the Bowlology report, there's been some rumours, and we need you to dispel them. Yep. Is it true that you're the man that hacked Vernon Philander's Twitter account? Was it you?
That was someone from East Sandy who told a bloke at Washington Park, and I heard that.
He's known for hacking accounts.
If that comes through, like, fourth, fifth hand, it's got to be true.
Paul Philander. His account got...
True. Oh, no.
It hasn't happened before or afterwards.
I'll apologise to him when I see him, when I get the opportunity, but it's just add a little bit of spice to what's already been a spicy...
You spelled two wrong as well. Two was 200.
Well, that's definitely me then, 100%. I would have done that
for sure.
The
worst thing is, I think there was a common mistake on previous too, so... Vernon, he can bowl, can't tweet. There might be a rock band named after that.
Yep.
What about the Shield final? You're Mr. Shield Final, is what they call you.
Isn't it?
Hey, I'm quite excited because there's a lot of really good young players. The Queensland and Tasmania, both have rebuilt really in the last couple of years. Yep. Tassie's been phenomenal. You know, they had, it's less than 12 months ago, you know, they're in real trouble, Tasmanian cricket, playing the final.
Mr. Cricket,
the Hurricanes. Mr. Cricket come in and help with the review, but they end up with Adam Griffith.
Yep.
Former fast bowler, so a bit of fast bowling nous about them, but they're an exciting team. Like Hodger, you were talking about Jake Doran before. You know, he went down with a lot of fanfare, big contract, only till this year, over 700 runs at 45. But you know, you got Jackson Bird, obviously not their South African tour, but taking plenty of wickets. But you know, Rogers with the ball, who got runs against Victoria at the bat.
Really important.
There's some real good prospects for Australia, and Queensland's the same. About half their team are young and actually producing.
Well, in the team of the, or cricket.com.au, put the team of the season in there. And in that, there's four Tassie players, four Queensland players, three Vics and one South Australian. And they are young kids, and they all have had great seasons. I think there's some really quality players in this Queensland side. Burns is quality. Lubber Shane is a really, really good player.
He went dry for a bit, didn't he? But it's interesting that he's just at his straps. Like, he's just made 100 going into the final, and he's a real confident person. And something like that, he's a chance to take his game away.
But a guy who I think is... got some serious talent, and that's Michael Nisa, who's been threatening for a number of years now with bat, ball, and he's a gun in the field. And it's not surprising that the strikers did well with him in there doing well. He's a gun player, all-round abilities that can change a game with ball and bat. But I'm happy for Tassie. I think it's really good that they've come from rebuilding, got a young list and done well, new coach. And I think it's going to be a really interesting final.
I tell you what Nisa doesn't hate is the Duke ball. Because he's a good swinger of the ball anyway, but then it just goes the next level.
Yep.
You know, 37 wickets.
Another bloke in that game who's, I reckon the Duke ball's actually sort of reinvented him, is Sam Rainbird as well. You know, Rainbird came onto the scene and bowled really well because he could swing the ball both ways, but big. Mm. And then sort of went off the boil a little bit. I think coming back in to get a bit of a groove with the cooker, but the way that he bowls and opens, he breaks partnerships with that Duke's ball. So
well, he's going to need to because great to see Joe Burns back out. Yep. He was getting runs beforehand. I think he would have gone on the South African tour, but got runs. And then also Matty Renshaw as well. You know, it was only 12 months ago he's getting 180 for Australia against Pakistan and had a tough start to the year, not playing for Australia. So there's a lot of potential Australian talent, isn't there?
Burns' big bash was amazing as well. Yeah. He was on fire.
But I think he's not AB de Villiers, but a lot of these players, they're actually getting better. They struggle a bit with T20 cricket. Then they build some hitting zones, and then they actually bring it into their chipping.
When everyone was talking about Lennon McCullum,
he'd
always come in and he'd either bat at three or he'd bat at... It's similar to what you did to the last few years, is that he'd come in at the crucial time of the game. And he'd come in, he'd knock around a little bit, and then go.
And hit sixes,
or if the situation dictated that he go, and people bowl that, you know, people try to bowl a hard length, that's his wheelhouse in T20. Like, he gets him. So he adapted his game beautifully for T20.
Do we know where this Shield final was played at? Is it AB Field?
AB Field, and it's going to be wet.
Wet?
It's going to be wet, raining, so that's why I'm going Queensland.
Yeah.
But the beauty is that I'd imagine they wouldn't have had much time to get on there. So for Tassie, if they can get enough cricket with these Duke balls, they might be able to get 20 wickets. But I think I'll go Queensland.
Could be a 3-day Shield final.
Yep, over five.
Who are you going for? Queensland.
I'm
going
to go Queensland.
I'm going to go Tassie. I'm going an upset.
Queensland for me.
All right, I like to hear it. And just quickly on the Dukes, are we happy with the Dukes or not? The tough thing, it's brought in to actually help us perform better in England, but most of the boys that will be in England are in South Africa. Does that make sense?
100%. They're not realising. But I think they need to keep both. And the reason behind that is that as you said, when you go to South Africa and you play international cricket here, you use your cricket, don't you?
Yep.
And you bowl on some flat wickets and some tough conditions for bowlers, that you need to be able to have both. Yes, it's all good to say someone got 50 wickets in a season, 35 with a Duke, 15 with a Cooker, and go 50 wickets, like, you've got to pick him and then get in and bowl with a Cooker.
Well, if he, say that young bowler does that and we think he's a superstar, if he has to bowl on that Boxing Day pitch at the MCG, he's getting none for 100. I can guarantee you that.
Who's that?
Anybody.
Yep.
Because look at Jackson Bird, he battled in that test match, which, why wouldn't he?
Poor old Birdie.
And he smashed him either side. Birdie smashed him either side, hasn't he? With the Kookaburra early and now with the Duke. You know, he's a quality bowler.
He's only coming from one test. He's sitting on the floor for that long. Not from that one.
See, to me, it's not the ball. It's not the Duke nor the Kookaburra. For me, it's the wickets.
Yeah.
The wickets are all drop-ins now. They're boring. Boring to bat on. Boring to bowl on. I like to see the Junction, these boutique grounds get up and running, and, you know, provide different aspects as well. And
like, if you can get a greenish pitch here in Australia, it's not that much different from in England.
None at all.
Green pitch.
Mm. Yep.
And I still think, you know, I was lucky enough to play Kookaburra ball and Duke ball, and I love the Duke balls a little bit more. but to me, when you went to England, you know, you just closed your fingers a bit more and you might bowl slightly fuller. It wasn't like this unbelievable change. Yeah. I mean, I think it's harder batting-wise if you're coming off flatties for green seamers and all that. But for bowlers, I don't know how bowlers find it difficult changing to the Dukes over there.
Yeah.
Hey, did you get a test wicket?
No, I nearly did. I'm not sure if it's an actual fact or not, but I'll tell people that I'm the most economical test bowler going around.
Well, what's the stats?
25 overs, none for 28.
Okay, how many overs?
25.
25? Really?
Yeah.
Oh, because you had to buy weeks in Adelaide.
Yeah.
And what was test cricket doing
someone
back
will
then?
Tell us. Most economical bowler in the history of test cricket.
I was running in and just shaping away a little bit to Faf that we'll see. And then I thought, I'll just keep the same action.
Oh, look at this.
Turn the ball around.
Look at this, kids.
And was one of those ones, he's amazing. You know when you come back in and he's like that, inside edge out the deep square, and you come back down, and I said, and he goes, nearly. And he goes, but not.
Was that in the second innings?
Yeah.
So they could have won the test match for us.
Correct.
Because he blocked it out.
I also stuffed up again. I suggested to Pup, because we were clutching at straws, they're blocking out, that when Pup was bowling, I think Punter was at short cover, and I said, they keep bunting the ball past him, just past him. I said, have someone behind him to see if I'll open up or do something. Sure enough, like two balls later, bang, I dive, went straight field and missed the catch. So it's good to see.
It could have been there.
Did Punter say, thanks for your advice? But
no, yeah, Punter.
Thanks for your advice, Bobby. I've got this one under control.
Also, what about the women? They went over to India, and India are an emerging team, play really well in the Champions Trophy. I think they flogged us in the semi there, and Alicia Healy got 100. Meg Lanning's back playing. So to beat them 3-0 over there, it's something the boys battle with, is a great effort, and I think they're number one in the world again. So,
but were they playing the main wickets, the main stadiums and stuff?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure.
They're right?
Yeah. Yep.
And big turners?
I don't know. I didn't see that much. I've been in Dubai. We were struggling for cricket there. But I'd imagine that would have been spin friendly. So, you know, after a pretty good Ashes series, which was exciting, wasn't it?
And
the women's big bash, it looks like it'll get its own window next year. You know, women's cricket is just
the good thing about
to aspire to play for Australia. It was a dominant team.
The good thing that's been happening in the women's cricket is nothing against Meg, is that they've been successful even without Meg.
Yeah.
So a lot of teams that Meg's been involved in have been heavily reliant on her, and I think it's almost been good for women's cricket that she hasn't played these last few months, because it's given other people opportunity to stand up.
And they're coming through.
And they've done well.
Hey, what about Big Bash news? Just quickly, Shane Bond, new coach of Sydney Thunder. So that's a good, you know, I've been hearing he's, if not the best, just about the best bowling coach in the world. I think they just want to move over here. And we'll say hello to our New Zealand listeners as well. And James Pattinson, Paddo, has gone to the Brisbane Heat.
What?
Is he gone?
Signed today, 2 years.
Well, there you go.
Thoughts, Bradley?
Thoughts are very happy for Shane Bond, I think. He's been... he's been in the coaching environment for a bit of time now, and he's always wanted to step up and be a head coach. And I know him well, and I know a few of the guys have big reputations on him, and I think he'll do tremendously well there. I think he's got his work cut out for him, actually, in working for Sydney Thunder, only because... We've talked about before the two-team thing in the States. It's a tough one, but he'll do a good job.
He does have an Australian selector in his midst, though.
Yeah, and we'll,
so if Junior decides this is the year for Thunder to win, you'll notice
he will
all
push
of a sudden
everyone to
Usman's
Sydney Thunder.
Playing the whole year.
Yeah.
Sorry, Paddo.
Yep. They might even get Mr. Cricket back out of
Mr.
retirement
Cricket
as well.
Mr. Cricket out of retirement.
Paddo, he must just be going there to beach tan up, surely.
Oh, do you reckon Julio up a bit?
It has to, surely.
I was a bit surprised. I mean, I was just so hoping that Paddo's body's right to play cricket.
Yeah.
And then not knowing his frame, I always just think test match cricket for Paddo, you know, shield cricket. I don't know if there's a change here of just going, if I can play more shorter form and then build up to longer form, maybe that's the way to go. In the near future, I don't know.
Maybe it is. Let's stick to short form for a season and
get through.
Gives him 3 years to play test cricket after that. I know when he did play 2 years ago in the Big Bash, he bowled bloody fast. So that's handy. And he's probably going up there thinking, obviously, to help with his tan, most importantly. But it's going to be a quicker wicket, isn't it?
Well, good news is that he's confident in signing somewhere knowing that he'll be back, you know?
Yeah, correct.
At least he's going, well, I'm confident we're playing cricket around that time. I'm happy.
He's playing cricket full stop, isn't it?
Yeah. Yep. So good on him.
Hey, I just got back from the Pakistan Super League. So it was based in Dubai, and the competition was it was actually fantastic.
Good.
It was fantastic. I was talking to Hodgie before. The one thing that surprised me, I thought the batting and bowling skills would be fantastic. There's four imports in each team. A few Aussie coaches, Dino and Tom Moody and co. And it's reasonably well supported, particularly when they go to Sharjah. But it was the fielding, Bobby. The fielding. They have the stats, you know, the people that take all those, the fielding stats. The catching, well, the fielding efficiency was at 90% for catching and the throwing and everything. The Big Bash, which I thought was disappointing last summer, was around 74%.
Yep. That's amazing.
So it was these catches. They were taking blinders, a lot of outfield, you know, the flick back behind there. But
Can I ask you something?
Yeah.
And sorry to get off that point, because we're still on the T20 point, is that you said that in the PSL they had four
imports
playing per game?
Yes.
And obviously the same in the IPL. Do you think maybe that the Big Bash could go to three?
Yes.
I'm not sure if you guys have touched on that before. But
no, we haven't.
That I think instead of having more games, let's bring more cricketers in. Whether that
bigger creates, names, sort of
yeah,
thing.
Yeah, unless that creates a lot of lesser names who are just available. But a lot of people outside tend to say Big Bash is great. We want to play Big Bash. Obviously, the BCCI don't let their players play. But to get more players, more quality players playing with our quality players, I'm sure it would only help.
I think you're going to have to anyway, Bob, because with the season going to 14 games next year.
Is that confirmed?
Yeah, it's
confirmed.
And I don't think that overseas players in that scheduled time will be able to commit to 14 anyway.
Time, yeah.
So I think you'll see that list managers will probably get creative and sign three or four people knowing that you know, people will come and go. Whether it's going to make our product better or not, I'm not sure.
Do you think 14 games in a season is going to make our product better or worse?
I think it will deteriorate the product, actually. But having said that, though, these Muppets at Channel 10, if they get the rights, will make it super exciting.
We're happy to do 14.
Exactly.
That's the exciting thing, is that Channel 10 do such a good job at it. It's just that even towards the end of the last Big Bash, even you speak to some random punters and some...
I don't want to lose the public.
A lot of the punters...
It went for a long time.
Yeah, they did.
And that was just... Two extra games per team, wasn't it?
I think average crowds will have to go down because, say it's the Melbourne Stars or Renegades, you're a cricket fan, you go to one day of the test, you might go to a one-day, international one-day / T20, but we're going to want you, if we
make... Probably the 25th of December in there as well.
What's that one
expensive? Christmas.
Yeah, but what's the game there?
No, there's no game.
Backyard games.
I'm talking about how much it's costing the fans.
Yeah, exactly. And then, although... I don't think the expense... If you buy a family ticket to the Renegades or Thunder, it is not that much money. That's the way to go. It'll average out.
You're going there.
But what happens if there's 8 home games, a home semi and a home final? You're wanting people to go 11 times over the summer in a 2.5 month period. I just don't think they're going to do that. So even if they go 6 or 7 times, which is fantastic, the average crowds will go down.
I think the one thing which is different for our product is that the community can resonate with our domestic players. Our main players don't play, or our test players don't play all the time. And you think of our marquee players that are in this competition, people go to watch Glenn Maxwell. They go to watch Aaron Finch.
Yep.
They go to watch Ashton Turner for WA. They don't actually necessarily go and watch the overseas players. They're not actually the main draw cards.
Yeah.
I feel that our product, apart from one or two, look at Chris Lynn for Queensland.
Superstar.
People go and watch Chris Lynn and Burns. And I think that the product of the domestic players in our comp is actually our strength.
Yep.
And I don't think we want to take away the fact and get in...
One more spot, you reckon?
Well, maybe one, but...
I could see 3, but...
Yeah.
I think the excitement is what you say. The people expect certain standards from the imports, and one more wouldn't hurt. Because then you get to hedge your bets a bit. Then you can go, right, we need a superstar marquee name.
Yeah.
And then if we had two, like a Colin Ingram, you know, who's a serious professional, not the biggest name, he's a winner, and we get a spinner. Yeah, I just think it lets you hedge your bets a bit. But, you know, we still want the Darcy Shore to explode, don't we? The public love it. And then what caps the end of a Big Bash league? Yeah, he plays for Australia.
Mm.
So I sort of like that format where there's always 3 or 4 that break through and get to represent their country. And as a fan, look, I'm still a fan even though I work on it, you get to see their progress from starting in the Bash all the way to Australia. So Pakistan Super League, they're in Pakistan now. The final's in Karachi. I reckon it might be the Karachi Kings versus the Dean Jones-led Islamabad United. And Darren Berry's their very strange brother. He's gone Sir Alec Ferguson. He's suited up the whole time. So in 40-degree heat, the big fella's
who,
not
Dino?
Worried. Dino.
Does it have a few lagoons under the arms?
Oh, mate. Full suit. So, Sir Alec Dino, good luck. And one of the funniest things I saw, Sahail Khan, the big Pakistan fast bowler, he's trying to get the fields right, and Yasir Shah, you know, the clever leg spinner.
Oh, this is brilliant.
And Sahail's trying to get his attention to, you know, go a bit finer, and in the end, he just took a couple of steps and picked the ball at Yasir Shah.
It just missed him.
So they're going to have a blue together, and luckily, Basil McCullum.
You're not going to hear anything over there in those crowds, I'm sure.
Oh, actually, it's not
No, it's a good crowd.
They're okay. I reckon if you're concentrating, you should know. But luckily, Basil McCullum, who is such a great guy, isn't he? Get any argument going, but I just thought that was hilarious.
Yasir Shah piffed it back twice as hard. This is a 40-year-old leg spinner. And now I'm like the opening pitcher of New York Yankees.
Hodgie, what about IPL news? You're going very soon. You're happy with your list and looking forward to the tournament?
Yeah, absolutely. We'll be going over there shortly. Things are gearing up all well. You just sort of hope that you look at everyone that's going there for the tournament, don't get injured leading up to the tournament, playing cricket. That's something which, you know, as a coach or manager, you're sort of keeping an eye on. I'm in constant touch with the players and staff to make sure that everything's going well.
Who are the big names that you got?
We've got some very big names, actually. One of our sort of strategic play was that for the Kings 11, we hadn't had any real quality Indian batsmen over a period of time that could stay within the franchise for, you know, a 5 to 10 year period. So we went out and bought KL Rahul.
Oh, yeah.
So we got him. We think he's an outstanding player. We got Karun Nair, who's also a talented short ball game. Also got 300 for his country. We got Manos Tiwari, who's a pretty good player in that format. A lot of Mayank Agarwal, who's for Karnataka opening batsman. He's been on fire. I do.
I find I just try and say them quickly.
Mayank Agarwal. Tiwari. But we've got some big.
I like all those names.
Yeah, we've got some big international players. Yeah. We've got a good bowling group as well. Good mixture of bowling group. We've got Mujib. Birinder Shran is a left arm fast bowler. Mohit Sharma, who's got some experience. And also Ankit Rajput, who's pretty quick. We've got AJ Tai, who we lined his pockets with $1.4 million.
Bang.
So for him,
that's about $150,000 per delivery he's got. He's got 16 different deliveries.
So I was wrapped when he got picked for that Shield game 2 weeks ago.
Oh, no.
Thanks a lot.
He bowled a lot of overs, too.
Oh, my God. What was he doing? Anyway, we'll get back. I suppose he is contracted to play four-day cricket. We've touched on that. But anyway, Aaron Finch is a gun T20 player. David Miller, who's big middle order hitter.
Slogs him.
Marcus Stoinis, who I think is in a real good space in his cricket world at the
moment.
Could
rip it open, the IPL.
Yeah, he's actually done better in IPL, Marcus, than he has in domestic cricket. Apart from that 90 that he banged in Brisbane, Bobby, that was probably... he's been a lot more free, and we know the reasons why in the background why he's become free. But I'm super excited about
him.
He's
better this year.
He's won white ball this year, so he's trying to win the game as well. He's been pretty good.
Yeah, so he could be anything.
I'm looking forward to it.
It'd be good. There's some great players around.
I'm going for 3 weeks. I think I'm in the Mumbai studios. Doing a bit of rap there. So
you're everywhere.
I just love the T20 tournaments. Lucky enough to be involved with the Big Bash and the Pakistan Super League. I just went, this is fantastic.
How do you rate them, Flem, as a viewer and as a commentator? How do they stack up?
Geez.
I've got my sort of...
I would have thought, to be honest, if you planted someone from either country and put them in the middle of any three of those, you'll enjoy it.
Yep.
You'll enjoy it.
There's no
How's that fence, buddy?
Yeah, I've seen plenty of splitters under there.
I would say, the one I would have thought the worst fielding T20 would be the Pakistan one.
But proven wrong.
And it's the best one. I reckon the local Pakistan batsman probably still learning how to play T20 cricket. Yeah. So Australia and Indian local batsmen are better. But the pitch is even out and it brings the bowlers into the game. So sometimes... the smaller scores, as long as the pitch is even, you got, and most of the attacks are quite good, you actually get these closer nail biters, whereas the average score in the Big Bash and IPL are higher.
Pretty standard, aren't they?
Okay. Oh, geez. Bobby, I don't know if you've heard about this. I'm sure it spreads around. It's time for Bradley Hodges' Social Media Self-Promoter Award. Now, Hodgie just scours the Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, and if there's a hint of self-promotion on any little post, this guy absolutely nails them. Hodgie, who are the contenders
The contenders for the self-promoter award. There's a few, actually, because it's been a while.
Yes. and it's late in the season.
You know what there has been? There's been less. Before I get into it, there's been less of thanking the sponsor type one. End of the season. Stephen Smith's very good at it. Yeah. Absolutely. He's up there on the leaderboard.
But you notice how he's saying less. You know why there's less? Because they know that this man is going to nail them.
Maybe.
And they may win Hodgie's Social Media Self-Promoter Award.
Maybe. So let's start with Test Match Cricket anyway. So it's England versus New Zealand are coming up shortly. There's been a bit of... stuff about Ben Stokes coming back and playing. But, however... Matt Prior, who's been out of the game for a decent amount of time, has posted Instagram of a winning thing, and he's just saying how amazing the memories were at Eden Park in 2013.
That's 5 years ago.
We know that that's 5 years ago, and you took the catch to finish the test match off. But just mate, you're done and dusted. You've forgotten. You've forgotten. Off you go. Bye bye.
Okay, it's not a massive one, but that's a self-promotion.
Yeah. That is a self-promotion. Now, Dinesh Karthik, who peeled off one of the greatest innings of all time against Bangladesh to get him over the line, India. This is pure self-promotion. Okay. This was just a selfie of himself with the Man of the Match trophy. Purely deserved, but we love that.
Is there any quote with it?
No, none at all. It's just a picture of himself with the trophy.
That's better than like a comment to go with it. Yes. Remembering 5 years, it's just, that's me. You can make whatever you want.
Or even just even though he didn't mean it, and congratulations on the team, I'm honoured to be Man of the Match. I'm Man of the Match and I'm happy with it.
This is me.
This is me. Now, Pakistan Super League, we'll move on to that one as we talked about. There's been a couple of people have done this, but there's two big names, Owen Morgan and Jason Roy, thoroughly enjoyed their time at PSL and Karachi Kings, blah, blah, blah. Best of luck for the rest of the series. That's just saying thanks for a lot. I've come and taken my cash, and I'm checking out before you guys fly to Pakistan. Jason Roy's followed up again by saying good luck to those, you know, Surrey boys as well.
So it's almost like a standard tweet that they just copy and change the name and put it in.
Correct.
Yep.
But we know what you're trying to do, boys. We're not fooled by this. We know exactly what you're on about. I want a gig next year. But I'm not flying there because I'm a bit nervous about it. Still on PSL. What'd you call Dino?
Sir Alec.
Yeah, okay. Ferguson. So Alec Jones.
Because he's thanking everyone at the moment.
He's in his life. So Alec Jones has made. He's just gone and tweeted a little look at my red book at Islamabad United. Now. This is obviously his coaching notes.
He's got the suit and he goes out at half, or the inning, you know, the strategic timeout with his red book.
Now, most coaches know that it's not about the coaches. It's about the playing group. I don't think Dino's got that yet. He hasn't got that yet because he's shown in this little red book a couple of notes on the players, but also a couple of quotes are in there. Vince Lombardi quote, blah, blah, blah. It's not the journey, but it's what you do within the journey.
Standard
whatever
motivational
it is.
Quote. Standard motivational quote. But he's put it out there on Twitter.
Dino, we know your team's going well.
Yeah.
And you're probably a good coach. But it's about the players, mate, okay? Let's
leave it. You know what I prefer Dino to do, and he does listen to our podcast. I'd rather see Vince Labutt. Well, I'd like to see a Dean Jones quote. Exactly. Quote himself. Quote yourself.
We love it. Now, I don't know if you know this, Bob, but Dino is a serial pest on there. He's right up
there
on the
leaderboard.
He's voted
most weeks, doesn't get big votes, though. He doesn't...
He's consistent.
He actually doesn't pump up the sponsors that much, to be credit to Dino.
Now, moving back home... and it was mentioned before, Cameron White. Cameron White actually... First votes for Cam. Tweeted or Instagrammed as well. Another award, another best dressed for the Mad Monday. Yep. Okay. So, yes. So he's actually...
That's a good one, though, isn't
that's
it?
That's a self-promotion of small... But yeah.
Yep, we do know that.
And what he wore as well is something that Cam has turned full... 360s and for the first
exactly.
what did he start with?
He never even used a dress.
No, he actually came down with a flannel shirt first, and then turned into a Julio.
Yeah.
And then said he had his like the collared shirt, nice pants, and the snakes in boots. And then it's just
35. Happy just to go with the float. Well done, buddy. First, folks.
Andre Russell, who's been out injured from the PSL, he's just constant on Instagram with his shirt off, bowling in the nets, hitting cricket balls far and wide. Just keep the shirt on, big guy. We know how big you are. You know? Don't make us jealous. So
it's just his shirt off.
It's not that hot in Jamaica. Not this time of year.
No, it's a sign. I mean, Dre Russ does that. New Big Dog does that a lot, doesn't he? Well, Bravo. Hodge.
There's
done
one
again.
More slight mention.
We might have some fancy.
And it's just Mitchell Stark. And I like this one. Mitchell Stark has kindly helped it out there about, you know, how well Miss Healy has done during the week.
100. She scored.
We love that.
Yep.
So we know you're involved in why.
Oh, hey. Just a little bit of a...
What are your thoughts on with the tweet and the social media that if it's husband and wife and they're in the same state and they're texting each other saying... Happy birthday.
But everyone sees
but
that.
But you've got the number. Back in the day, it used to be, hey, Carl, happy birthday. Yeah. I said tonight. Yeah. When now it's
on social media.
I'm
so proud
of saying happy birthday to you.
Oh, we don't look kindly on that.
No.
No.
No, there's I tell you who's a...
Maximum votes.
I tell you who's a maximum serial pest doing that is Darren Sammy.
Okay. Really?
Darren Sammy is notorious for that sort of stuff.
I'm surprised
he's not doing what he's released, didn't he? Like, he did quite a bit of...
He did. Oh, actually, speaking of Liz, I've forgotten one.
What?
The great Shane Warne was tweeting about his hole in one during the week.
Oh, it's a, no, but I'm well done.
Is that a
Ron
golf course?
It was a 156 yard six iron.
Yeah.
So he's self promoted. It's his first hole in one. Well done to you, King.
Yeah,
good
well
stuff.
Done.
But what I loved about there was a few retaliations from a few people, KP, etc. We're a bit worried that you're hitting the six iron into 156, buddy.
Yeah, you know? And it was yards.
Yeah,
it was like that too. Yards.
Yeah. So
I'm picking an eight iron up there.
Yeah. So
So votes wise, little ones. You know, the prior one. You know,
yeah.
Just a little bit of that. Dinesh Kartik, I'm going to give you two, because nothing about it, just there. Morgan and Roy, we know what you're doing.
Yeah,
boys.
That's
yeah.
The thing.
You
we know.
Yeah, want to give next year two votes to them. I reckon Whitey just one vote.
Whitey,
because we want to see uniforms. Mitchell Stark, one vote for that sneaky.
Well done, wifey.
And well done to her too. 100 there. Now for the more votes, I'm going Dino 3.
Yeah, absolutely.
3. My red book, and good luck in the final there. Warnie 4.
Yep.
Warnie 4.
Yep.
Votes and 5 votes. It's got to be Dre Russell.
Oh, absolutely.
Dre Russell. Yeah, put your shirt on.
Put it on, mate.
Just put your shirt
on. Put it on.
Yeah, you're not. We're about a working class. They're not working class cricketers.
Can't be.
Okay, that's the social media self promoter award. That's it for the Bowlology report. How good was my landscape gardener today? Just
amazing.
Had to pop in.
I hope
he's going to do the garden.
I hope he's sun smart in his landscape.
Very
sun
smart. I want to know where can I have your email address to send invoices? Is that right?
You just told me it was cash, and I don't have any cash. Okay, let's move on. Good luck to the Aussies. Good luck to you, Bobby, and no doubt we'll get you on again. Hodgie, well done, and we'll do a bit of a review of the third test and preview of the fourth test next week.
We will.
Go Aussies.
The wicket of truth is fantastic. You know, that's all the buzz in Hollywood right now.
Buzz in Hollywood.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.